The FAA has a holiday message for Dallas. Your favorite online flight planner might be going away. And kids flying free on laps may be a limited time offer. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 13th, 2010. It's that time of year again, and the traditional kickoff to the holidays is at hand. Literal kickoff, that is. The FAA has issued the TFR for the Super Bowl in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Following the pattern of recent years, the only aircraft allowed business as usual in the area will be the scheduled airliners of the sort that was actually used to attack the World Trade Center on 9/11. But the public will be kept safe from all those deadly instructional flights and banner towers, and those always subversive medevac pilots will have to phone ahead before coming to rescue you. Get the boundaries and other details in the text version of the story, dated December 11th, at aero-news.net. There's been what Obi-Wan would have called a great ripple in the force regarding online flight planning software. Last week, Flight Prep started playing hardball over patent infringement issues in a technology it says it patented in 2001. The popular website runwayfinder.com, which offers a free service, announced it would have to shut down operation in the face of demands for licensing fees. Flight Prep issued a news release which explained its side of the conflict and concluded, quote, "A careful review of all available information, including legal documents, press releases, patent applications, published editorial, and customer comments, should lead any reasonable person to conclude we have done this fairly and in good faith," unquote. Well, the user community apparently didn't take well to being painted as unreasonable. The reaction was swift and highly public, and it quickly appeared as if Flight Prep might win a small battle and lose a large war. Within a day, Runway Finder's Dave Parsons published an addendum to his explanation of the impending shutdown, saying a compromise appeared to be in the offing and that Runway Finder had won a reprieve. Whether Flight Prep can regain any lost goodwill remains to be seen. Social networking sites were buzzing with boycott threats. ANN's Jim Campbell hopes to speak at length with Flight Prep's attorney, Peter Haas, this week. The union representing flight attendants at many U.S. airlines testified before the NTSB last week in favor of ending the practice of allowing children under 2 years of age to ride on an adult's lap on airline flights. AFA-CWA International President Pat Friend told the board that the FAA's decision to continue allowing the practice gives many parents the false impression that the practice is safe. Quote, "As flight attendants, we are trained to secure all items in the cabin, galley, and lavatories, from carry-on bags to coffee pots. We do this because we're trained that in an emergency, loose items can be dangerous if flying through the cabin. A lap child has the potential to be one of those loose items that may not only suffer serious injury themselves, but also injure others," unquote. The union supports the NTSB's long-standing recommendation that the FAA require all infants and small children to use safety seats during takeoff, landing, and in turbulence. NTSB Chairman Deborah Hersman said in her opening remarks at the forum, quote, "Safety for our smallest travelers should not be considered optional or a luxury," unquote. Up next on ANN, Rolls-Royce revises its service bulletin for the Trent 900. The U.S. Air Force may be helping end the recession early in Alabama. And Concorde's new battery targets LSAs. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 13th. I'm Paul Platt. A quick reminder, ANN is looking for your input in developing our year-end best and worst of 2010. See the categories and get the details in a story dated December 11th and headlined Speak Up at aero-news.net. The Australian Transportation Safety Bureau's investigation into that Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engine that suffered an uncontained failure on a Qantas A380 leaving Singapore last month has resulted in some very specific guidance to operators. Investigators say they've identified a potential manufacturing defect with an oil tube connection to the high-pressure, intermediate-pressure bearing structure of the Trent 900 engine installed in some A380s. Rolls-Royce has immediately revised the relevant service bulletin, incorporating assessment and engine rejection criteria for the measurement of potential oil feed stub pipe counterbore misalignment, and a tightening of the compliance time frame from 20 to 2 flight cycles. Since the issue of that bulletin, 45 Trent 900 engines have been inspected, 29 of them installed on operating aircraft. 3 failed the inspection and were removed from service for further examination. A paperwork screw-up by the U.S. Air Force may speed an end to the recession in Mobile, Alabama. As reported last month in the New York Times, the Air Force accidentally provided Boeing and Eads with information on each other's bids to build the KCX tanker. While the official decision isn't expected till sometime in January, the companies apparently saw enough to figure out the winner is going to be Eads. Eads, which has proposed bringing European-built Airbus A330 airframes to the U.S. for finishing as military tankers in Mobile, is now plunging ahead with construction and supply chain deals. HOAR Program Management will oversee the building of the plant. No, that's spelled H-O-A-R. Eads says there will be construction jobs at first, 1,500 aerospace jobs when the plant's up and running, and a total of 48,000 supply chain-related jobs supported in the U.S. The company also pledged to convert A330s for freighter use at the same plant, increasing the economic benefits. The company has begun transferring its 200-person KC-45 program management team to Alabama. Concorde says it's now shipping its RG-12 LSA, a small, lightweight, sealed valve regulated lead-acid battery for experimental and new type certified aircraft. Marketing VP Skip Koss explains, quote, "This is a real aircraft battery. It's a combination of small size, high performance, and advanced sealed battery technology built with the design features and reliability of our other products. RG-12 LSA fills a need in the light sport aircraft industry for an airworthy product. This battery has the higher cranking power required for an airplane engine and capacity reserve for essential power requirements," unquote. The 11-amp-hour battery includes features providing maximum terminal conductivity, shock resistance, and safety from leaks and spills. Find out more at ConcordBattery.com. That's Concord ending with an E. Still ahead, the Spitzer Telescope may have discovered mountains of diamonds. Mitsubishi will build Sikorskis for Japan. And Kermit Weeks is honored for his acrobatics, both kinds. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 13th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA says scientists using the Spitzer Space Telescope have discovered a distant planet with carbon concentrations much higher than those found on Earth. Researchers speculate the planet, called WASP-12b, might have granite, diamond, or even a more exotic form of carbon in its interior, beneath its gaseous layers. Mark Kirchner, an astronomer at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, notes, quote, "If something like this had happened on Earth, your expensive engagement ring would be made of glass, which would be rare, and the mountains would all be made of diamonds," unquote. The Spitzer observations were made before the satellite ran out of its liquid coolant in May of 2009 and began its warm mission. Japan's Ministry of Defense has selected Mitsubishi Heavy Industries to supply the Japan Air Self-Defense Force with a new fleet of advanced UH-60J search and rescue helicopters. The aircraft will be produced under license from Sikorsky. The new fleet will replace 40 Mitsubishi-built UH-60Js that have been in use since 1991. The new aircraft will be phased into service over 20 years, with a contract value of about $2.3 billion, including 20 years of logistics support. A removable aerial refueling probe is among the improvements developed by Mitsubishi for the upgrade. Others include satellite communications and a collision avoidance system. Jeppesen has introduced a new situational awareness en route application that features worldwide real-time weather service. It's a new component of the Flight Deck Pro electronic flight bag. The product is targeted for Part 121 and Part 135 commercial operators and features graphical and textual weather display options designed to enhance air safety and streamline operational efficiency. The new app displays weather graphically overlaid on the flight plan route, works on the ground or in the air, and supports XM satellite and internet connections. Find out more from a link at the bottom of the main page at jeppesen.com. And finally today, most aviation buffs in the U.S. know about Kermit Weeks and his astounding Fantasy of Flight Museum in Central Florida. Many also know he's an accomplished aerobatic pilot with 20 medals at the world level and a two-time U.S. national champ, with those achievements all coming in planes he designed and built. So it might not be surprising to learn that Kermit was recently inducted by the World Acrobatics Society into its Gallery of Legends. But there's a rest of the story you probably didn't know. The acrobatics that got him inducted are the kind that happened in the sky, but his association with the society came about because of his acrobatics in a gymnasium. Weeks competed in gymnastics at the high school and college levels, but a realization he wasn't Olympic material led him to focus on his other love, flying. Anyone who's ever visited Fantasy of Flight would probably agree that decision turned out pretty well. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about a real headshaker of an accident and the more in-depth question of why we need to look at accidents. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.